This conference will now be recorded.
All right, and now I would like to turn the call over to Emily, who will be going over some general updates and key dates. Emily?
Great, thank you, Elisa, and good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, December 17th, and this is our very last call of 2015. This is our bi-monthly updates from the field call with all of our programs across the state of Texas, so thank you all for joining us. I feel like we have a great agenda today, a lot of good and exciting updates, a lot of really exciting events coming up. So I'm going to go ahead and get started with probably what you all have been wanting to hear about for some time now, which is our federal national service funding update. So for those of you who have been following the news and who follow organizations like Voices for Service and Service Nation, I have some very, very good news. In fact, better news than I think any of us anticipated being able to share with you all today, which is that the fiscal year 2016 Omnibus Appropriations Bill has been released, and it is expected to be approved and voted on in the coming weeks. And it includes quite strong funding for both the corporation as well as AmeriCorps state and national grantees and state commissions, and all of us in the national service field. So early congratulations. I don't want to jinx us, but I think that once you all look at some of the numbers that are published online, you'll be quite pleased. The current language includes an increase in funding for both AmeriCorps formula and competitively funded grant programs to be allocated consistently with the original legislation that created AmeriCorps, the National and Community Service Act of 1990. It also includes some additional language that seems hopeful that the corporation will be encouraged by Congress to release more training and assistance dollars to state commissions to be able to support grantees such as yourselves. And so while the language around that is pretty vague and there aren't specific dollar amounts, basically Congress will be directing the corporation to invest more in training and program development and assistance in 2016. So that is very exciting. For those of you who have been around for a while, you may remember that our program development and training funds were actually eliminated several years ago during funding cuts and sequestration. So this is very, very promising for investing in the capacity and the infrastructure of our field to ensure that we can all do our work the very best possible way that we can. So I'm really pleased to report that. If you're curious about the number levels, this previous year, the enacted level for AmeriCorps state and national program funds, which is what you all benefit from, this past year was just over $335 million. And this year, the language includes, if approved, but it is likely to be approved, it will actually increase that $335 million to $386 million for AmeriCorps State and National. So that's very exciting, and congratulations to us all. And for those of you who were involved in educating your elected officials over the past few weeks or months, I just want to personally thank you. I think we heard loud and clear that there is bipartisan support for national service. And I know that many of you have been active in educating your local officials, both at the state level and the national level, about the great work that you're doing in your community. So thank you, and let's all hope that this gets passed over the holidays, and we can start with a nice clean slate in 2016 with increased funding levels. Now, keep in mind, a lot of those things do get delayed for 1 year, so the increase won't be felt until the next grant-making year, but that is still very exciting news. Okay, and on a related note, next on our agenda is talking a little bit about elected official engagement and some potential opportunities we may have coming up to invite elected officials to see some of your programs in action. I'm very pleased to say that we had a very productive meeting last month here at the One Star Foundation offices with members of Senator John Cornyn's staff. And we were really pleased that they were very receptive to understanding more about AmeriCorps and Senior Corps programs in Texas. And so as a result, we're looking to potentially schedule a site visit for Senator Cornyn, as well as other members of our congressional delegation here in Texas to come out and see your programs in action. So I'm going to ask you all to do something for me right now while we're on the call. I would like for you to send me an email at emily@onestarfoundation.org with any upcoming dates that you all might have this coming month, winter and spring, that you think might be great site visit opportunities for elected officials. These could be events you already have planned. These could be, they could even be theoretically fundraising events if you have any galas coming up. They could be service projects such as MLK Day or other types of programmatic activities where elected officials might really benefit from seeing AmeriCorps members in action. This is something we really want to commit to doing more of, and we need your advice. We also know that the MLK Day holiday weekend is a big time for elected officials to get out there and serve in their communities. They will mostly be home in their districts over that weekend. And so that's actually a perfect timing opportunity, as well as these next few weeks over the holidays. I know most of you are probably closed for the holidays, but if any of you happen to have holiday-related things going on, send us those too. And again, you can send those to me directly at emily@onestarfoundation.org so that I can coordinate any great opportunities you might have coming up to add some visibility to your program and also educate elected officials here in Texas. On a related note, we also have some new board members with our One Star Foundation and National Service Commission Board. We just received a word from the governor's office that we are getting 6 new board members who are starting right now. And we are also looking for site visit opportunities for them. They are scattered around the state, and they are always looking to get to know our AmeriCorps grantees as well. So these site visit opportunities might be used for our own board members and commission board members as well. Okay, moving right along, and I will take some questions at the end of my update before we move on to other presenters. I wanted to give you all a quick update on the Volunteering and Civic Life in America report. As you all probably saw in our last AmeriCorps update, and if you received the electronic updates from the corporation directly, the new Volunteering in America report just came out, and we always try to, the corporation always tries to release this around the holiday giving season to kind of promote other ways of giving back to our communities. And it's overall very good news. It really found that volunteerism is very steady and stable. And I think overall it's generally good news. There wasn't a huge increase, but it was relatively stable and steady. It also revealed that one in four Americans are volunteering, and 3 in 5 are helping neighbors in some way in their community, even if it isn't through formal volunteerism. In Texas, as you may know, our rankings are not always as high as certain other states. I think Utah is always number one, so we have a long way to go before we can surpass Utah and some of the other top states. Texas is actually 43rd in terms of the number of volunteers. We'd like to see that really increase. That said, I do want to say keep in mind that this is actually proportional to the state's population per capita. So these rates are per capita. And when you actually look at the raw data and the actual sheer numbers of volunteers and number of hours that each state is generating, Texas actually has an enormous number of volunteers and hours. In fact, we are at 4.63 million volunteers for the past year, 2014, when the data was completed. And those 4.63 million volunteers contributed 572 million hours of service. And that was worth $13.2 billion in value to the state of Texas. So those are actually very, very big numbers, even if our ranking seems low. It's because per capita, we have just such a huge population here in Texas. There are infographics that you can use to share this on social media. I encourage you all to share this news. There's actually a Texas graphic specifically. We've shared it through our One Star accounts, and the corporation also has lots of great activity on social media about this new report. Use the hashtag GoVolunteer to please share this information and help promote volunteering in your local communities. Next up, I just want to give a quick recap of some exciting events we had the first week of December here in the greater Austin area. For those of you that might also be VISTA projects, you know that this was the culmination of the VISTA 50th anniversary year. And we actually got to host the Vista 50th anniversary culmination event right here in Austin at the LBJ Presidential Library and Museum. It was a wonderful event. There were several hundred people in the audience, I think just over 300. And there, Wendy Spencer from the corporation came, as well as the brand new director of Vista, Max Finberg, who will be coming from U.S. Department of Agriculture into the corporation world. There were lots of great Vista alums in the audience, and a very special recognition award was given to State Representative and Vista alum Elliot Neistat. So for those of you who have known Representative Neistat over the years, he is a very proud supporter of Vista. He has a hilarious story about his Vista service, and this is actually his final year before he retires from the Texas House. So it was a very fitting time to give him that award. So it was a wonderful event, and I just want to also thank programs that also helped host Wendy Spencer in her various travels throughout Central Texas during that week. Shout out to Travis County 4-H Capital for hosting Wendy to kind of meet with you all and the RSVP project at Travis County. And it was a really great event overall, and we had so much fun. So thank you guys so much for being part of that. And on a kind of going back to MLK Day and opportunities coming up, I wanted to just talk a little bit about MLK Day 2016. As you know, it is the weekend, January 16th through 18th will be MLK Day. This is the one big day of service that we strongly urge programs to participate in. It's a great opportunity to collaborate with other organizations and be part of larger scale service projects in your community. And it's a great visibility opportunity for all of you. So here is my ask of you for MLK Day. My ask is that before you close down for the holidays or go on vacation or wherever you may be going for the remainder of December, that you all have somebody at your office register what you will be doing for MLK Day on mlkday.gov, and hopefully also let your grants officers know what you're planning as well. It may be part of your elected official site visit opportunities too. But we'd like to have a sense of what you all are planning and what you're doing out there. We had some great projects last year that we're going to mention at the very end of the call and have some peers share out what they did last year. So be thinking now, and if you aren't sure what you want to do for your service project, you can also find other service projects on mlkday.gov that you might be able to align with or sign up with. So definitely go to mlkday.gov, and I'm asking that you all please, please, please register your projects before you leave for the holidays, because as soon as we get back, One Star will need to kind of be submitting reports to the national level on what's happening in Texas for MLK Day. Okay, and a couple more updates before I take questions. Next up, I wanted to talk briefly about some spring trainings that will be happening in 2016. Let's kind of get those things on your calendar. So as you all know from your monthly calls in November with your grants officers, we are considering the last week of February for our all grantee meeting, as well as an additional new AmeriCorps staff orientation, or NASO as we call them. As of right now, those are still the dates that we are strongly considering. We are working on nailing down a venue, and pending final confirmation of a suitable venue, we will be confirming with you all in writing. But right now we ask that you hold that week, which is February 22nd through 26th. More likely, it would be February 23rd through 26th, with the first 2 days being the new AmeriCorps staff orientation, and the last 2 days, the Thursday and Friday, being the all grantee meeting. That is what we're currently exploring right now. But as soon as we have a venue confirmed and kind of logistics confirmed behind that, we will let you know as early as possible in January so that you can make your travel arrangements. Okay, and then another important date thing to put on your calendars while we're on this call is AmeriCorps Week 2016. It's taken the corporation quite a while to kind of decide what they want to do with AmeriCorps Week. There's been talk of, you know, not necessarily having the thematic weeks of Senior Corps Week and AmeriCorps Week moving forward, but there's been so much excitement and enthusiasm from the field that CNCS has elected to move forward with having AmeriCorps Week again. As you all know, it was sort of on hold last year for the 20th anniversary festivities. It was all sort of combined. But this year, the corporation has announced that AmeriCorps Week will be the week of March 7th. So So that's tentatively, I believe, March 7th through 13th are the exact dates that they're looking at. So please mark that on your calendar. I'm pleased that I believe that is before spring break for most of you, so that will make it a little bit easier to participate in. But we're really looking for regional collaborative service projects or other visibility opportunities. I want to reiterate that it does not have to be a service project that you can do for AmeriCorps Week. You can also host elected officials for site visits or have them come shadow an AmeriCorps member for a day. You can also have just other community events or community spotlights where, you know, you're getting media attention or having, you know, local officials in some way recognize your program during AmeriCorps Week. The goal is really to elevate the profile of AmeriCorps at the local level. So whatever that might mean to you, please consider what your AmeriCorps Week options are for March 7th through 13th, 2016. And please collaborate with the other programs in your area if there are any, so that we can kind of scale up the projects and really promote you all as a city or a region. And we're looking for ways we can do that. You all should have, except for our newer programs that will be receiving these soon, you should all have an AmeriCorps Week vinyl banner that is quite large that we gave you last year that you can use for photo opportunities or at service projects that you do during AmeriCorps Week. So we're looking forward to promoting your events, and please mark your calendars. And two more important dates to note are, Mayor's and County Day of Recognition for National Service will be Tuesday, April 5th. Please put a hold on your calendars as well as your AmeriCorps members' calendars. We are going to want to see them out in force wearing their AmeriCorps shirts on Tuesday, April 5th. Hopefully there will be a local event in your area. We are just kind of kicking off the very initial planning phases of Mayor's Day. And I have a couple of updates I did want to share with you all about that. We are aiming to have about 10 different events across Texas, and this includes Senior Corps programs and VISTA programs as well. Right now, the potential target cities are kind of some of the obvious cities that have hosted events in the past, and those include Amarillo, we're hoping you'll do something, Austin, Dallas, El Paso, Houston, Fort Worth, Waco, Brownsville, we're thinking maybe we can collaborate with you all on something down there, maybe with the school district if the mayor won't participate. Laredo, San Antonio, and there's a Senior Corps presence in Corpus Christi where they typically have an event there, even though there aren't any AmeriCorps programs in Corpus Christi. So those are the cities that we're looking at right now for some kind of mayor's or county day event. Of course, you are welcome to plan smaller scale events if you have either, you know, suburbs or other towns that might want to host something. We would love to help support those as well. But those are kind of the big, you know, 10 events that we're looking at. Our goal this year is to have 320 commitments from mayors, county officials and commissioners. And new this year, we will be recruiting and targeting superintendents or school boards, if more appropriate. So for all of you that work with school districts, I will also be in communication with you in 2016 about how we can get your local superintendents or school boards to sign on to show their support. They can either do a proclamation or add you to the agenda of an existing meeting. The important thing is that they fill out the online form that just shows that they are committing to support the event in some way or form or fashion. So I will be communicating all of that with strategic programs in different areas in early 2016. But please keep that on your radar screen, and if you have connections, please let us know or kind of start those conversations early. And again, that's Tuesday, April 5th. And last but not least, we've sent out this information already, but I just want to make sure it's on your calendars. Our Southern Regional Training Conference, which will include the Southwest Cluster this year as well, is scheduled for April 26th through 28th. In 2016, it will be held in Montgomery, Alabama, by the Serve Alabama Commission in partnership with America's Service Commissions, and it promises to be a really great event. The Alabama crew is doing a great job, and I want to thank Meredith from CIS Heart of Texas, who's on the planning committee as well, representing Texas programs, and I just want to remind everyone that if you are interested in submitting a workshop, like a peer-led presentation, you can submit a workshop by this Friday, December 18th. It's a pretty easy process. It's all an online form, and you can submit for either just the Southern Cluster, or if you're interested in presenting at multiple conferences, you can also select which other conferences you're interested in presenting at. And then each of the planning committees will be reviewing those in 2016 and kind of contacting you if they're interested in having you be a presenter. So I believe that's all the updates that I have. Are there any questions about all of those general updates and events?
This is Marcia from SCA. I have a brief question.
Sure. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Emily. Relevant to the MLK Day service days, ours is actually scheduled for the 23rd, the following Saturday. Is that acceptable?
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to stop you from having a great event by any means. I think we prefer when things align with MLK Day just because that's when most people have off. And you're likely to get more VIPs there, more media attention, to participate in some of the national social media campaigns. And as I mentioned, elected officials are often home in their districts that weekend. So it works out well if you want to have VIPs come and speak or be part of it. But yes, you're absolutely welcome to have it on the 23rd if that's what works best for your program.
Okay, thank you.
Good question. Any other questions? Okay, great. Well, I'm going to turn it over now to Jacqueline for some programmatic updates. Jacqueline.
Hi, everybody. I've got quite a few bullet points and some bonus ones that weren't on the agenda that got added since the agenda went out. So lucky you guys. First one, service year exchange updates. As everyone knows, the deadline was Tuesday for getting your organizational profile and position postings in the exchange. We have almost 100% on that. There's still a few lingering programs. If you are one of those organizations that have not yet completed that, we are strongly encouraging you to. We'd really like to see 100% visibility from all of our programs. So please kind of kick that up on your priority list. If it's something you haven't done yet, you have to have it. You have to be in the exchange by December 31st in order to qualify for the free 3-year membership. So that is coming up soon. And if anyone has any questions, I know we just got an update from them that they got kind of slammed with the deadline in terms of lots of people submitting postings and everything. So if you haven't gotten it approved yet, don't worry. They're working through them right now. Okay, next bullet point, CNCS IT modernization. Miranda and I sent out emails last week about this. CNCS is taking feedback from the field on member recruitment and management portal for their IT modernization. So some of you have sent us some very detailed and really great feedback already. We're compiling that. We were hoping to have it by Monday, but if you guys just haven't had a chance to get it, but you have a lot of thoughts still, please just send it our way. We'll be compiling that over the next couple of weeks. So if you can just aim for, you know, before January, that would be great. The sooner the better. Okay, new CNCS member assignment listing guidance and checklist. This was in the last two AmeriCorps updates, I believe. CNCS has released some new guidance on this. We've seen more member postings get rejected for various things, and so they've been kind to offer this detailed guidance and checklist on what programs need for their member postings. So if you haven't checked it out and you are curious about why maybe your member postings are getting rejected, I would go reference that in the AmeriCorps updates and take a look. Reasonable accommodation funding, another one that was in the AmeriCorps update. So if you guys are reading your updates, then this is just a reminder. But if not, here's some new information. So fiscal year 16 reasonable accommodation funding has been released. If you are interested in requesting funding for any reasonable accommodations, there is a form on our website, OneStar's website, as well as a link in the AmeriCorps update. Funds are awarded by CNCS on a non-competitive basis in a first-come, first-serve order, FYI. And if you have any questions about requesting funding for reasonable accommodations or reasonable accommodations in general, Miranda is your go-to person for that. But, of course, feel free to, if I'm your grants officer, feel free to keep me in the loop as well. America Service Commission subgrantee membership, another one that was in the AmeriCorps update. So ASC, America Service Commission, is piloting this new program offering AmeriCorps State Service Partner membership opportunity for AmeriCorps State subgrantees who are funded through a state commission, which is all of you guys. So it's a $250 membership, and it provides you with access to a series of four webinars that will be focused on programmatic issues. Memberships are available on a rolling basis, and they're good for 1 year. It is an allowable cost on the grant. If you have any questions about that, you know who to contact, Mary and Anna. And the link for signing up for that is in the most recent AmeriCorps update for you to go back and reference. Okay, here's one that's not in the update. Here's new information. Completing member exit forms and e-grants for unavailable members. This came up for one of our programs, and we thought it would be useful information for everyone because of this year being new in that members had to be completing the enrollment and exit forms. And it's a possibility that programs could get into a situation where a member leaves kind of suddenly and then becomes unresponsive. And keeping in mind that 30-day exit cycle time, you might wonder, what do I do? I can't get a hold of the member, and we need to exit them. So the answer to that is you should create a policy. And your policy should include a description of what the number and the type of attempts that should be made to reach that member and documenting that. And then if you develop a policy of X amount of times via email or phone call, and you followed your policy and the member is still not responsive, then you do have permission to go in and exit that member, completing the exit form yourself for that member. But just make sure you're following your policy and documenting all of it along the way. And then two bonus bullet points that weren't on the agenda, but have come out over email, is there's some exciting criminal history check updates. They have just released updated state repository lists, and it includes Arizona. Arizona has an alternative now, which is really exciting. For anyone that's been trying to run state of residence checks in Arizona, you know you've had to file an ASP in the past, and it's now now available. So that's an exciting one. There's also some state checks that turn out count the same for other states, and so that's included on the new repository list also. There's more alternatives listed, and they've also fixed some broken links. So, just check out the new repository list. It should have some exciting new updates. And then the other criminal history check update is the FBI.
Wait, I'm sorry, can we pause? Can you all hear us? We received a report that somebody can't hear us. Can somebody confirm that you can hear our voices?
I can hear your voices.
I can hear you.
Okay, great. It might have been a problem on the other person's phone. So thank you for confirming. Jacqueline, will you go ahead and continue?
Oh, good. Wasn't talking to air. Okay, so then the last one is that FBI channelers, they have approved a FBI channeler field print. This is possibly good news for programs that are running out-of-state FBI fingerprinting checks. But if you're running your fingerprints in-state, then you should keep using the Texas Department of Public Safety's designated channeler, which is MorphoTrust. So if things are working on that and don't field print is not new news for you, then don't worry about it. But for out-of-state checks where you need to do fingerprinting checks, it could be useful. And there is a call tomorrow on that, and that went out in an email earlier this week. So those are all of my updates. Do you guys have any questions about any of them? All righty. I'm going to turn it over to Mary then. Hello, everyone. I have a couple of fiscal updates for you. Ann and I have been forwarding CNCS emails to the fiscal staff regarding OMB guidance key practices. They're picking out some changes each week or so from the super circular, the omni circular, whatever you want to call it, and sending them out one piece at a time. In the agenda we listed too, and then also yesterday we forwarded the one on procurement. It's 2 CFR section 200.317 through 326. And so how this relates to what Anna and I are doing is that during startup review, we read through the fiscal policies and procedures. We have an organizational capacity survey. We have a chart for the programs to document their separation of duties. We look at timesheets and all sorts of documents to make sure that everything is in compliance. And looking at all of these things combined gives us a sense of the internal controls. And so we want to continue to encourage the fiscal staff to customize the separation of duties chart to fit their practices. If they want to add more procedures than what we have listed, that's fine. If they've got just extra levels of detail, we encourage everyone to provide that extra detail to us. We're also continue reviewing the separation of duties chart with guidance from the COSO Integrated Framework and the GAO Green Book. We will still continue reviewing your procurement policies during startup as well. The conflict of interest that we forwarded, I believe it was last week, Anna and I are working on a policy for what we're gathering from the programs. In the past, when subrecipients have submitted the policy, we reviewed it, and going forward, this will be mandatory to turn in during startup review. We've updated the capacity survey for next year to include questions on this, along with turning in the policy. And then we're also creating a form to have a summary of the known conflicts of interest that our subrecipients have documented. Does anyone have any questions on these?
Hey, Mary, this is Jennifer. Are those emails just going to fiscal staff?
Yes, they're just going to the fiscal staff.
I don't know, because I haven't seen them. I don't know if it would be helpful if program staff got those. Also, just so we're in the loop on those things.
We can start including the program staff on those forwards. That's fine.
Two E's. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Okay, Anna's going to give the update about final PERs next.
Hello. So final PER processing update. For those of you who haven't been through this before, we do a comprehensive review of all PERs and all expenses on the final PER. And we do that before we'll pay the final PER. And so our timing, most programs are submitting those throughout the fall. And then Mary and I are resolving those issues, we're able to get closer to coming up with our portfolio averages. And that's important to us because we like to be able to share that information back with you all in the form of status reports. It's like a report card for those of you who haven't gotten one yet. It shows what your program and fiscal performance and grant performance looks like versus the whole portfolio. So we're always trying to kind of push through the PER resolution process, the final PER resolution process, so that we can get those total portfolio averages completed and be able to share that information back with you guys. So we're getting close. Mary and I together have about 5 left. So we're about 80% done, and just the 5 are pending because of some specific issues, either a monitoring report that's holding that up. I have one program that ends actually next week, so that PER hasn't been done yet, and then 2 other programs that are working through some final issues. So we're getting there. We're getting close. Those of you who are in that bucket of 5, I know you know who you are, and we appreciate you working with us to take any steps we ask you to take so that we can kind of wrap that project up and get those status reports out. So that's where we are on the final PERs. And then one bonus topic is about 30-day submission for PERs. So this is a requirement that has been in your grant terms and conditions for quite a while. The requirement being that any PER that's submitted, we need to have that submitted by 30 days after that the term of the PER or the period covered by the PER ends. So, for example, if you're submitting a PER that covers October 1st through October 31st, we'll need that PER by November 30th. So that has for a long time been a part of our terms and conditions, but I think for at least the last couple of years, we haven't been strictly looking at those submission deadlines. So we wanted to notify you all that we are going to be looking closely at those submission deadlines starting with the 15-16 grant year, so the grant year that started this fall. So if you hear back from Mary and I saying, hey, just here's your one freebie on you submitted this after 30 days, you'll know why. But we wanted to make sure that you guys were aware this is something that has been a requirement for a long time, but something that we are starting to become more strict about. If you do submit a PER after the 30 days, that will result in a notice of a non-compliance. We don't like giving those, so please submit your PERs within 30 days. Keeps everybody happy. So let us know. Yeah, let me know if you have any questions on the PER timeline or on the final PER processing update. So any questions? Okay, so passing it along to Elisa, who is covering grant management updates.
Thank you. I just have a couple of quick updates for today. I wanted to let you all know that OneStar is moving into a new era of technology. And so we are starting by no longer really requiring that you all submit paper forms to us. This started earlier this year as we were doing, as we've been doing the closeouts for folks. So you'll notice when we're doing closeout that you no longer have to print off, sign, and mail hard copy copies to us, but we will now take these electronically. That process has been going exceptionally well. We're able to move these documents back and forth between us much faster, and so we're really excited about that. We just wanted to make sure that you all knew that. It's going so well, in fact, that we will also be moving towards doing all of your grant awards in the same way next year as well. And we'll most likely be moving towards a DocuSign type service so that that will make things move even faster. So we are really excited about that. Final status reports, Anna kind of gave a preview to this, but final status reports, which are like your programs, basically like report card, will be coming to you very soon. I will be emailing those out as soon as Anna mentioned, the final numbers have been compiled. And we hope to have those to you very early, either at the beginning of beginning to mid of January. So we're just kind of waiting on a couple things, and then we'll get those out to all of you. As usual, if you notice any discrepancy in your status report, please notify us, because this is our official record that we do utilize during times like grant review and looking at past performance. So please make sure that your status report is 100% accurate according to both of our records. The past performance assessment and recompete past performance assessment of recompete applicants. This is something new that CNCS is doing. It is a past performance spreadsheet where they are asking commissions to notify them of your past performance during your recompete time. In the past, I have written long narratives discussing all of your past performance. Had the opportunity to justify areas when maybe your performance wasn't 100%. Now, CNCS this year is rolling out basically a spreadsheet where I answer yes or no to your performance as far as did you meet your 100% enrollment, yes or no? Did you meet 100% retention, yes or no? Did you meet 100% of your 30-day enrollment and exit cycle time? It asks about performance measures, match, and then a few other factors. I think it's important for you all to know this because CNCS continues to be very, very competitive in their grant making. And so this, I think, is an indication of just one additional way that they are continuing to be very competitive. For any of you who have not received 100% in any area of your performance, I think it's important for you to be aware that you're assessed on a really black and white scale right now. I don't know how this will go in the future, but for right now, I think it's important to know. So if you have any questions about that, please let me know. This primarily impacts any of you that would be applying for competitive funds. So for those of you who are in our formula pool, or for those of you who are not applying for or eligible for competitive funds for whatever reason, this does not apply to you, but know that if you choose to recompete next year, then this obviously does apply to you if you are applying for competitive funding. So be aware of that and let me know if you have any questions. None of the criteria is new. It's just the manner in which we're reporting it back basically to CNCS. So nothing would be a surprise. It's just that there's no more gray area. Okay, so then the last thing that I do want to mention is that for those of you who are competitively funded, either currently or are going through the recompete process, you know that you have your application currently under review by One Star Foundation. For those of you that are currently formula funded or are looking to be formula funded, planning grants, I'm talking to you, be aware of your formula funding deadlines for this spring. If you are a new or recompete application or know someone who is, your notice of intent to apply form is due to grants@onestarfoundation.org no later than February 18th, 2016. So if you've already submitted your notice of intent to apply form, there is no need for you to submit another one, but just know that you are required to have that notice of intent form submitted to grants@onestarfoundation.org no later than February 18th, 2016. For all of you on the call, new, recompete, continuation that are formula funded, your application deadline, either new, recompete, or continuation, is due in e-grants no later than March 3rd. So March 3rd, 2016 should be a big highlighted date on your calendars. The e-grant system is available to you at this time to already go in and make your start your applications. So I encourage you to go ahead and do those early. Don't run into technical glitches and make sure that you submit your applications by March 3rd. If you have questions as to whether or not you are formula or competitively funded or what or how you need to submit anything, please let me know. Application instructions and e-grants are available and have been for some time. So that's all the updates that I have. Those are all the updates that I have, unless anyone has any questions.
Elisa, this is Jennifer again. On the past performance, are they just looking at the whole, like, three-year cycle, or are they just looking at the previous year?
They are looking at – thank you, great question. They're looking at the most recently completed program year. So for those of you, for example, who are under review right now, so if you submitted an application right now, a recompete application for 2016-17, they're going to be looking at 2014-15 because you are currently in 15-16. So currently 15-16, so they're not going to be looking at any of this year's information. They're going to go to 14-15, and that's the information that we're going to compile for them. So it makes it that much more important when you guys get your 14-15 status reports to know, kind of make sure we're all on the same page with what we are reporting.
Okay. And one other question. I'm sorry. I got interrupted.
That's
right. Is your continuation for formula, do you have to turn in a letter of intent?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I will be turning it now over to Emily.
Hi, everyone. For the last few minutes of our call, I wanted to tap a few of our peers here on the call that did some outstanding work with MLK Day last year. I know many of you had outstanding projects, but we picked a few just that really represents kind of the diversity of projects and different geographic locations of MLK Day projects. So I'm going to go ahead and call on our friends at City Year San Antonio. Sarah, or anyone from CYSA, are you on the call and can you share out?
Hi, yes, this is Sarah.
Hi.
So I can share a brief summary of what we did last year. So last year we City Year co-led a youth empowerment summit with the City of San Antonio and our MLK Commission. And the Youth Empowerment Summit was basically a bunch of workshops that students attended with support in STEM classes, self-esteem classes. So our AmeriCorps members helped facilitate those. along with that, we did a tile mosaic. So each student was given a 6x6 tile to decorate with any any of their dreams or hopes. And then once we collected all of those, we were able to mount them together into an 8x8 mural. And that mural will now be displayed at the end of our big Martin Luther King Day March every year.
Wow, that's really great. And I think you all, didn't you get some media or other visibility as well?
We did. From Carmen Tia, she said we had approximately 800 students attend, 10-plus community partners, and there was some media coverage along with that, which there usually is since our march is the largest in the state.
Excellent. I love that. And I love that the project really produced something tangible and visible that can keep, you know, being reused from year to year.
It's in our office right now. We usually keep it here, and then as we use it. So it's kind of a nice reminder for our staff to see as well.
Fantastic. Great. Well, thank you so much. Next up is Corinne from Texas Conservation Corps on the line.
Yeah, hi, I'm here. So last year we had a pretty large MLK Day event. We had three different service sites. Two of them were more like technical sites, so we had a lot of chainsaw work and trail work. One was at Paquito Creek and one was at Dove Springs. And we had a larger site at Montopolis Park in East Austin. And at that site, we had about 150 volunteers come out. Of those volunteers, 75 were AmeriCorps members, 25 were some staff members from our organization here at American Youth Works. And we had about 50 to 60 community members come out from the Amala Foundation, which is a nonprofit here in Austin. We also had some students come out from Houston Tillotson's Green is the New Black program as well. And we had some folks from DPR Construction as well as some Vistas from Austin as well. So we had a pretty awesome turnout. A couple of the people within the neighborhood that we were working in also came out to join us. So we had like a volunteer event from 9 to 12, and we were just cleaning up Montopolis Park. There was a lot of trash on the trails, and we cleaned up a nearby cemetery as well. And after the volunteer event, we had lunch donated, which was awesome. DPR Construction actually donated lunch for all of our volunteers, so that was great. We also invited a speaker to come, like, reflect on the day and kind of debrief everyone on their impact for the volunteer event. His name was Etienne, and he was awesome. And then after, like, all that wrapped up, we got discounted tickets to the Alamo Draft House on South Amar. And we were able to take our organization and a lot of the volunteers with us to go see Selma. So that was really great as well. And our speaker actually debriefed after the movie. It was a pretty heavy movie. So we were able to debrief after that movie and kind of reflect on the whole day as well.
Wow, it sounds like a very full day. So it was 9 to 12 for the service project. And then how late did all the other festivities go?
I think we had lunch until 1 and then the movie started around 1:30 or 2. So we got out around 4 or 5 after the debrief and everything.
Okay, great. So I think that's just a really interesting project idea, very collaborative. You had other community volunteers as well as our locally historically black college and university, Houston Tillotson, students participate, which is fantastic. And I love that you incorporated some civic reflection elements in there, both after the project and the speaker and the film. So that's something I definitely want to encourage all of you to consider also is, I know we haven't done a ton of civic reflection with programs and members lately, but it's something that we're here to support you in if you need resources or ideas. We have curriculum and it's also posted on our website that you can even use. And that film Selma seems like a very appropriate way to kind of incorporate the civil rights theme of the day as well as some civic reflection afterwards. So great, great ideas. And thank you for sharing, Corinne.
Thank you.
And last but not least, I'm not sure if you all are on the call, but either Project Grad or if any of our Houston programs are willing to share some of the collaborative activities that happened in Houston last year. I know you all worked with your local AmeriCorps alums chapter and really just had a lot of different people participating. So is anyone on the call from Project Grad or another Houston program that can share?
Yes, we are. Project Grad.
Hi, great. Who's this?
Arlette.
Oh, hi, Arlette. Great. Thanks. Take it away.
So we participated at a workshop Houston. Like you mentioned, it was led by a Houston alum and Kate. We basically did kind of designed for our youth students, mostly middle school students that they serve. So it was doing science codes, motivation for their students. They do have an education kind of workshop for them. And then we also clean the area. Along with Project Grad, Houston Alums, and CASE, United Way, and the Center for Literacy also participated. So with a group of AmeriCorps members. They really enjoyed it just because they were able to connect with other AmeriCorps members, be able to network with them, as well as knowing more programs here in the Houston area that are also part of AmeriCorps. And they were able to share ideas of what they do in their programs to kind of, you know, take back and do it on their server sites as well. So it was a very neat opportunity to be able to work with other programs here in Houston so they can share ideas and network with other AmeriCorps members. And our students really like participating in the doing codes and motivation for the youth, so they really enjoyed that.
That's great. I love how collaborative your project was and how many different programs from the Houston area you were able to incorporate. So thank you for sharing. And you all also got some good media coverage. I believe you were on, I think it was TV, wasn't it? ABC, like one of the local channels?
Yes, it was. It was ABC 13. We had a few AmeriCorps members also participate in the interview. So they were on TV and they were very excited to see themselves on TV talking about, you know, their experience and the impact that they made in that community.
That's wonderful. Well, I really strongly encourage everyone on the call to think about how you can really maximize the impact of your project, both for the members in terms of having a high quality service project experience or civic reflection or something that makes them really tie MLK Day to their service and to national service as a larger thing, and also how to maximize your visibility in your local community, whether it's having a huge group come out, getting media coverage, having an elected official there, or having a guest speaker who is prominent in the community. All of those seem like great activities. And of course, taking lots and lots of photos and having those members out there wearing their big AmeriCorps logo on their shirts or their gear in some way. Thank you for sharing. Does anybody else want to share any other MLK Day project ideas or things that you've done in the past that have worked well? All right, everyone's being a little bit shy. Well, I just want to say thank you to everyone for joining the call today. I also want to give props to the five or six of you who have already emailed me with your ideas about elected official site visits or MLK Day project opportunities. So thank you all to those five or six of you. The rest of you, please send me an email at emily@onestar.com.
Many of your questions answered by visiting lonestar.edu/ask.
I'm sorry. I think somebody might have put us on hold. but we will go ahead and end the call. But please do email me at emily@onestarfoundation.org with any elected official site visit opportunities or MLK Day service project opportunities you have coming up.
And I just want to jump back in. This is Elisa, and make sure that I record any of you that are on the call that I did not get your attendance at the beginning. So if you know you did not register your attendance at the beginning and you did not ask a question or speak during the call, please hang out for just a minute so I can go down our list one more time just to make sure I have your attendance. If you've already been registered, then you're welcome to drop off the call at this time. Is there anyone from Boys and Girls Club of Austin on the call?
Yes, ma'am. This is Tara.
And Caroline.
And Caroline's here with me.
Caroline. Thank you, ladies.
Oh, and Will's here too. Sorry.
Oh, and Will. Thank you, Will.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas to you, too. City or Dallas?
This is Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thank you.
How about City Square?
Hi, you have Eli, Liz, Jennifer, and Andrea.
Liz, Jen, and Andrea. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
All right. Project Transformation?
Yes, Casey's here.
Thank you, Casey. Mm-hmm. We're going to miss you.
Miss you, too. Bye.
By Teach for America?
Yes, Erica.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who is it from Teach for America?
Erica.
Erica, thank you so much.
Thanks.
United Way of El Paso County? Anyone from United Way? All right, and University of North Texas.
Yeah, it's Keisha. I'm here.
Thank you, Keisha. All right, thanks, everyone. Have a great holiday.
The organizer has disconnected, and this conference will continue for 60 minutes.